Venerable monks and dear friends, on behalf of everybody, we like to offer this token of appreciation of Dr. Valpola's tremendous service. He is an asset to Dhamma and to the whole community of Buddhists here, who not only is skilled in his medical profession, but also very skilled in Dhamma profession. And I saw some of his presentation that he made available for me, and I believe you all might have, as Chandra mentioned, might have enjoyed it. So, without too much ado, I'd like to make this offering to him. Thank you very much. And also thank you on my personal capacity for taking care of me. Your job is not finished yet. Until I leave. Thank you very much. And I really admire and appreciate your dedication, devotion, and the practice of meditation during this period, in spite of my not being here. As I mentioned, all these venerable monks gave their support, encouragement, and spiritual inspiration. This is very important moment for us to remember. Achintitampi bhavati, chintitampi vinashati is one of the statements of the Buddha. We never expected to interrupt the retreat. Our intention was to continue it. But that is the nature of life, nature of Dhamma. And that itself should be an object of our meditation. Entire teachings of the Buddha is based on this principle, the principle of impermanence. There have been many philosophers, scientists, psychologists who have been talking about impermanence. Their knowledge of impermanence was limited only to knowledge. But nobody made use of impermanence as a basis of teaching Dhamma. Buddha is the only one who not only realized that everything is permanently impermanent, and then he used it, because suffering arises because of the existence of impermanence. Not just because of impermanence. If impermanence alone is the cause of suffering, or suffering exists because of impermanence, even the Buddha's, even after attainment of enlightenment, would continue to suffer, because impermanence can never stop. Even after attainment of enlightenment, impermanence exists. No one can terminate it. When Venerable Ananda was crying over the what he was going to experience after the Buddha's passing away, Buddha called Venerable Ananda and said, "Ananda, have I not taught you for the last 45 years that everything is impermanent? How is it possible that the Tathagata would not be impermanent?" Therefore, Ananda, don't cry. You have helped me in thoughts, words and deeds with compassion, with love and respect, with metta. And you have acquired enormous amount of merit. Console yourself, strive hard, attain liberation, so that you will be free from this grief, sorrow, lamentation, and so forth. That shows even the Buddhas are impermanent. Then what makes, then how impermanence became the basis of the Buddha's teaching? It is not because of the impermanence, but because of the attachment to impermanent things that we suffer. Anything we become attached to, no matter what, it is definitely, invariably impermanent. So friends, from this, this is a very good subject of meditation. What happened to me can happen to anybody. We don't have any guarantee. Remember Ratnapala Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya? The life always continuously changing. There is no way to stop it. In this changing life, anything can happen, anytime. So that is very true, and we must prepare. From this understanding, there arises very, very important knowledge. That's called spiritual urgency, Dhamma Sangvega. Dhamma Sangvega. Vega means speed. Sangvega means additional speed, high speed. Dhamma Sangvega means seeing the truth. There arises an urgency in us to accelerate our practice. When something like this happens, we always must think, this can happen to us anytime. And therefore, without wasting a single second in our life, let us strive hard to make the best use of our living. Spiritual urgency, that spiritual urgency has two aspects. One, this kind of urgency that arouses our interest, that encourages us to accelerate our practice. Other meaning is that when the Buddhas, Arahants, saw someone suffering, there is a spiritual urgency in them to help the person as quickly as possible, giving emergency, paramedic. Buddha was giving a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to us whenever we are in trouble. That's what he did. When somebody is in difficulty like Mata Kundali, he did not waste one second. Immediately he rushed to Mata Kundali and gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Gave very quick help so that this person was reborn in a suitable place. So, enlightened person's spiritual urgency is different from our spiritual urgency, Dhamma Sangvega. Friends, when we have Dhamma Sangvega, we don't feel like being lazy, thinking that I have so many trillions of things in my life to do. Let my children marry. Let me retire from my job. Let me be free from these commitment obligations, and then one day I will find time to meditate. But there is a saying in Sanskrit, Ya ichyati harishmartum samsarastanaterapi samudre shanta kanlole snatum ichyati durmukha. A man who goes to a seashore and waits for the sea to become calm for him to have a swim, he will never swim. He will never swim. Why? Sea never becomes calm. Our life is like that. Lot of waves, ripples, ups and downs, activities, busy. And therefore, when something like this happens, we must remember, this can happen to us. You know, I was telling my friends, 4 or 5 days before that I was in Ottawa walking with 2 other monks. One of those was who came here the other day, probably you have not seen him. Venerable Dinananda and the other monk. And we saw a man, tall man, he was doing marathon walking. You know, when tall man walk fast, his stride is very long. Then I told my friends, you know, in the past, I never let anybody walk in front of me like this. Let us try to, you know, overtake him. We walked. We overtook him. Walked, leaving him far behind us. So we walked like good. That was 4 or 5 days before this happened. 5 days later, ended up in the Vasishtha. You see? Never trust this body. Never trust. Body has its own agenda. Mind has its agenda. Mind tells the body to do something, body would never obey. We must remember that. Therefore, what you all have been doing during this retreat, you came with a wonderful intention, taking leaves, taking off your time from activities to spend this time. Why not we make use of that time? How often can you take leaves like this? And therefore, what this gentleman and all you, this venerable monk, decided to do in spite of this discouragement is wonderful thing. And that's how we must continue our practice. When somebody is, Buddha said, you always must look up for an opportunity to meditate. Many people are very good in giving excuses not to meditate. Buddha asked us to find excuse to meditate, not to meditate. When you have to go somewhere, you must think, during this trip I cannot meditate. Therefore let me meditate now. Generally, most of the people say, well, I have to get ready to prepare for my trip. I don't have time to meditate. So, what? During the trip, Buddha said, meditate. So the trip will be very calm. I told you my airplane experience. While seeing fire coming from an engine, about 1.5 hours taking off from Hawaii, I saw fire coming from the engine. And then pilot said, engine was on fire. we cannot continue to go to Singapore. We have to return to Hawaii. Then flight attendants came. If he returned to Hawaii, how to deplane? The flow light will be on, and we asked to wear seat belt and leave. Please remain quiet. Don't get upset. Don't be panicked. Emergency doors will open, and the inflated chute will come out. You all line up. First, pregnant ladies, old ladies, children, and us line up. I was watching the flame. I saw flames sometimes blue, sometimes red, sometimes yellow, sometimes mixture, like firework. I was enjoying the firework, thinking that if this plane drops, we were about 39,000, 40,000 feet high up in there. I thought if the plane dropped 20,000, we will be unconscious, heart will stop, and we'll die. I thought, why not I enjoy this? And with the other eye, I look at the people. They were crossing the heart, and they are crying and kissing each other, you know, hugging and half dead. I enjoyed this firework. Came to Hawaii. All the time, big, big flames coming out of the engine. Exactly as we reached, the airport was covered with ambulance, fire trucks, and emergency doors open. We followed the instructions and jumped. I have never jumped onto a chute, even in a playground, when I was growing up. But that day I really enjoyed it. And ran away from the airplane. Why? Because friends, we meditate, we learn the nature of our life. Once we really understand the nature of our life, there's no reason for us to be afraid of a situation like this. This venerable monk was a witness. When this happened, until I reached hospital, all the time I was talking. I did not become unconscious, responding to the paramedics. I believe I was able to remain conscious, talking, explaining, answering all the questions. Although there was heavy pain here, I think because of this training of my mind. Friends, we die. We all die. We must prepare for it. We must prepare for our death. To prepare for our death, we reflect on our death. We all die. This is one of the reflections, Maranamusati. So friends, I think this may be enough for you to think and continue your practice, not only during the retreat. Retreat is not the end of meditation. Retreat is the beginning of meditation. Meditation is, bulk of it is at home. This is just laboratory. Field work is there. When you go home, continue your practice. And I really admire your participation, encouraging each other to practice. And I also believe that you have gained a great deal of benefit from this practice. May you all attain Nibbana.